He's the director of the Office of Divine Worship, so he knows a thing or two about the faith. It's Monsignor Gerard O'Connor.
Well, it has been a little while since we talked the liturgical life with Monsignor Gerard O'Connor, but I am happy to have Monsignor O'Connor with me this morning so we move into this liturgical season of Advent. Monsignor O'Connor is the director of the Office of Divine Worship for the Archdiocese of Portland, as well as the rector at the beautiful St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception. Good morning, Monsignor O'Connor. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning, Brenda.
Well, Monsignor O'Connor, we are well into this Advent season. And of course, for me, no surprise, I do tend to get caught up a lot in the lights and the sounds and the Christmas trees and shopping that leads up to the Christmas season. But it's important for all of us to pause and really recognize and observe a holy Advent. You know, can you tell us and our listeners what's really important to remember about this Advent season, and how can we proceed during these days to have a very holy Christmas?
Yeah, you know, Advent is a, you know, it's a semi-penitential season.
I mean, it's
like Lent, a little Lent. That's why we wear violet vestments, you'll notice, during the Advent season. And so it was meant to have some sort of penance in our lives during this time. And penance always focuses our life, you know, around the supernatural, of course, I think. So even, you know, some fasting can be done during Advent as well. And again, fasting focuses the mind on the supernatural things, I think, or that's what it's meant to do. So I think very practical things, like all the seasons of the church, we go through Lent and Christmas and Pentecost, all these sort of seasons, we're meant to change what we're doing. We're meant to change it up a little bit. We're meant to change our habits, the way we do things. And so I always recommend, you know, taking up some new things during Advent, or, you know, going back to some old things, but changing up, changing from our regular way of life. So a different sort of prayer regime, perhaps a little fasting, perhaps some penances that we do, definitely some spiritual reading, pick up something good for this Advent to read in preparation. And all this sort of stuff prepares us to celebrate the great incarnation, of course, the great Christmas festivals.
Monsignor, you say that this is a mini Lent, so to speak, a penitential season in the life of the church. Would this be an important time then also for those of us in the pews to recognize and make it a point to attend reconciliation or confession during this season? Is that also important as we lead through these holy days?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, let's face it, we all should be going to confession on a very regular basis, weekly, if not monthly. But if you haven't been for a while and you're one of those people that think, well, just twice a year is enough for me, then Advent is the time to go.
Okay.
But I would recommend, I don't really know many people that, you know, confession twice a year is sufficient. I think there's always more we can do in the confessional, which is a greater examination of confession, of our consciences. And the regular examination of conscience leads to a regular confession, which is a great practice. So, yeah, I mean, certainly confession during Advent, I think, is important, but more importantly, regular confession throughout the year is most important.
Well, it is the beginning of the liturgical year, so maybe we can use that as a time for a Catholic New Year's resolution, since Advent is the beginning of the liturgical year. Monsignor Gerard O'Connor joining me this morning as we talk a little bit about the liturgical life. Well, just in the very beginning of the month of December, a beautiful feast day, but often gets a little bit confusing for people because of what we think it's about. It's the Immaculate Conception. It's a holy day of obligation, one that has not been changed to another date this year. So tell our listeners about what the Immaculate Conception is and how we are meant to celebrate it as a holy day of obligation.
Yes, the Immaculate Conception is the solemnity where we remember that Our Lady was conceived without sin, that if she was to give birth to the second person of the Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, then she would be saved from any stain of sin. So that's what we celebrate in that solemnity. And, you know, the Immaculate Conception, Blessed Virgin Mary, under the title Immaculate Conception, is the patroness of our Archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Portland. And in fact, our own cathedral is St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception. So it's a very special day for us at the cathedral. And you may be aware that when a cathedral or a church is dedicated, there are candles that are placed on the walls of the church, usually 12 of them. And only on a couple of occasions can they be relit on the anniversary of the dedication of the church and on the feast of the patron of the church. So if you come to the cathedral on the Immaculate Conception at our masses, you'll see the dedicatory candles lit during the mass.
Oh, yeah. Wow, absolutely beautiful. And again, it is a holy day of obligation, or as we like to say, a holy day of opportunity. So Catholics are expected to attend Mass on that day.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, Monsignor O'Connor, we talked as we were preparing about this Advent season and Christmas liturgies. The priests of the Archdiocese have been asked to preach in a very special way on the Kerygma. Explain to our listeners, those who will be attending Masses, what that means and what our priests will be sharing about that.
Yeah, so back in May this year, we had a special convocation where we invited Father John Ricardo of Acts 29 to come and talk to our priests. And over a period of 3 or 4 days, he preached to us about the Kerygma. Now, the Kerygma is a Greek word which means proclamation, and it's the word that was used by the early Christians to describe what they were doing about preaching the gospel. So it basically, the Kerygma is getting back to the basics of what we believe as Christians. And Father Ricardo split it into 4 parts. And these 4 parts fit perfectly into the 4 Sundays of Advent in preparation for Christmas. So the archbishops asked all the priests, which is sort of unusual because the archbishop never tells us what to preach about or asks us to do certain things. You know, we're left as pastors to be his delegate and just, you know, do what we think fit. But this year he's asked us all to get back to the basics and preach the Kerygma on these 4 weeks of Advent. So that means going back and understanding what the early Christians taught and what they believed about creation, about the battle of evil, the redemption that comes from the incarnation. So it's perfect leading up to Christmas. And then our response as Christians going forward. So these 4 themes are under the bigger theme of the Kerygma. And so I think you'll find in most parishes you go to in the next few weeks of Advent, you'll hear the priest talking about the Kerygma, which is a beautiful thing. And I preached this weekend on the first part, which is creation, and had some wonderful comments from people. So it's sort of been received rather well, and I think hopefully it will be in all parishes.
Oh, excellent. Well, if you are not aware, it just means this week you can spend a little time when you are at Mass trying to understand this beautiful preaching that our priests have been asked to preach on during this Advent season. Monsignor Gerard O'Connor sharing more about that, along with some things that are coming out of the Office of Divine Worship. Prayer is such a focal point of our spiritual life. And with the Office of Divine Worship, you work to make sure that there are resources available, prayer cards that parishes can go through your office and get and hand out. There are 2 very beautiful prayer cards that are available right now. And I believe we've talked about one previously, but tell us about this Litany of Humility and also this other prayer card, a very special prayer on the back that, well, you pray during all of your meetings for the Archdiocese.
Yeah, so we've we produced a new prayer card on the Litany of Humility, which is a beautiful prayer. Some people are very familiar with it. Some people have been saying it for years. And to others, it's brand new. But this prayer was written, well, it's ascribed to, and I think it may have come from other parts, but it's certainly ascribed to Cardinal Merry d'Oval, who was the Secretary of State under Pope St. Pius X. So in about 1910 or something, he wrote this Litany of Humility, which asked the Lord to give us that humility that we need in our lives. And to, you know, make us not seek attention or promotion and not be jealous of other people who, you know, are more fortunate than us, things like this. So it's a very beautiful thing. And one of our priests had asked us if we had such a thing, and we said we didn't. And we said, well, why not? Let's do it. So we had a few thousand of those printed. So we've been giving them out, and they're available at the Office of Divine Worship. They're great to put in the back of your churches and let people take them as they will. One parish I know ordered a couple of thousand from us. They promoted it in their homilies, and they decided to give everybody a copy of
wow.
it. So they're always available. And then the other prayer card we used, which we used as the prayer for the synod, but then we went back to its original title, which is Ad Sumus Sanctus Spiritus, which means we are present, Holy Spirit. And this is a prayer to the Holy Spirit, asking him to be present amongst us when we meet. And this prayer was used at every session of the Second Vatican Council by the Church Fathers, by the bishops who gathered. And it was, I think it was written in the 9th century by Saint Isidore. And it's a beautiful prayer. It's invoking the Holy Spirit to come to a group of people. So we're using it in the Archdiocese at the beginning of all our meetings, whenever we're doing, whenever we gather together to discuss something, we always start with the Ad Sumus prayer. So again, it's available from the Office of Divine Worship, and it is a beautiful prayer to use when you're meeting, either one-on-one or with a large group of people.
Oh, well, it would be an excellent resource, too, for those, even if you aren't in a religious setting, but you know that you are entering into a meeting just in your secular life, to keep this prayer card right there on your desk. You can say it personally to yourself and then enter into that meeting, and the Holy Spirit definitely guides you. Monsignor O'Connor, always a wonderful morning when we get to talk, and I have loved our time today. Will you please end us in a prayer blessing?
Yes. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit to be among us, to people who listen to this great apostolate Martyr Day radio. May they grow in love of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in the name of our Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And again, that is Monsignor Gerard O'Connor. I will be sure to add a link to where you can find the Office of Divine Worship and look at those prayer cards with also information on how your parish can get them. You'll find that link on the podcast of this interview, materdayradio.com, and the Hail Mary Media app.